WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
You are listening to the student section on WVUA 90.7 The Capstone. My name is Brady Grogan. I am joined here with my co-host Connor Rolls. How are you doing tonight?
You already know I'm doing quite swell. I'm excited. NBA basketball is upon us.
We have finally gotten to the peak of the basketball season. We are on that uprise to the NBA Finals now. We have the play-in tournament happening right now as we're currently recording this. The Heat and the Bulls are playing the play-in game for the 8th seed. The winner gets the dreadful fate of playing the Bucks in the first round.
Which is not what you really want. I mean, if I have to be honest, I might want to lose this game just so I can get that lottery pick and not get swept or gentlemen swept in the first round by the Milwaukee Bucks.
I don't think the Bulls even have their lottery pick because they trade them all the way for the Magic for Nikola Vucevic, so they kind of have no choice but to win.
I guess
these teams are stuck in just an endless loop. They don't have their picks, and they have to try to win, but their team's not good.
Yeah. It's a tough matchup. It's like you look at the Heat, and they have a lot of, I don't want to say G League type of players, but like Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, Duncan Robinson, a lot of players like that where I don't know if they would see regular minutes on normal teams, but I guess because
they might, you wouldn't have think they get the same opportunity.
Yeah. They're kind of like the gritty, like hustle kind of players who just shoot, which is what the Heat are, I guess, known for nowadays. But if they lose, they get the lottery pick, which means they can increase their talent. But if they win, they're probably going to get swept. They have the worst offense in the league. Their defense is okay, I guess. I mean,
a lot really not going for them. Bam Adebayo.
Oh, Bam Adebayo has been, I'm starting to realize when the lights get bright, he like hides from everybody.
It just feels like in big games, he's just nowhere to be found. Like, it's just like you don't even notice that he's like, oh, it's Bam Adebayo. Like, that's like, that should be like a big name in the NBA.
Yeah.
But like, you're just like, oh my God, Bam Adebayo's on the court.
I think now all of a sudden it's like, I don't think you ever hear anybody say, oh, Bam Adebayo's playing tonight. Let me tune in. I don't think anyone's saying that ever.
I mean, I feel like 2 years ago, he was in that conversation.
Yeah, he was.
Of like the young up and coming center. Last year, he tried to make that like defensive player of the year push at the end, which didn't work. But like he was kind of in that a little bit. I feel like it's gone down quite a bit.
This year, in my opinion, he's really good defensively, of course. I think we all know that.
For sure.
He's kind of undersized, so I feel like that hurts him a little bit. But his offensive game, I don't know about you, but when I watch him play, he looks a little scared of contact. I don't know about scared, but he doesn't want to draw the contact, at least against bigger centers. But he's more of a fadeaway, mid-range type of scorer. Or if he gets into the paint, he's kind of going for like a Euro or finesse move. Which
it's kind of weird because I feel like DeMontis Sabonis, they're like the same size, but like totally different skill sets.
Oh, yeah.
Sabonis, like neither have like great like post-up game.
Sabonis is pretty good.
Sabonis is better, but like I don't think of like Sabonis as like give him the ball and let him go back to the basket for like 6 seconds to make something happen. Like it's not how the Kings run their offense.
It's not, but I would give the ball to Sabonis.
But I just feel like because they're like the undersized of like constant a little bit, but like Sabonis kind of makes up for that with like playmaking ability and like being able to like be set up in the high screen and then get the ball and then make a decision from there is like really important. Bam Adebayo does not have that like at all.
He doesn't. I don't want to say he's one-dimensional, but he's kind of one-dimensional.
I'm going to say on offense, he's pretty one-dimensional. He's a great defender, though.
Great defender. So, speaking of the Heat, they played the Hawks. Was it Tuesday night or Monday night?
Tuesday, I think.
Tuesday. They played the Hawks for their play-in tournament. The winner of that gets a 7th seed against the Celtics. We all thought, at least I thought, the Heat were going to win. Bam Adebayo didn't show up. I don't think any really, besides Kyle Lowry, no one showed up for the Heat.
Kyle Lowry put up, what, 30 off the bench?
I think he put up 33, yeah. Yeah, 33 in 33 minutes. That's pretty efficient. But Jimmy Butler, 21 points. Max Strus, only 3.
Jimmy Butler had an all right performance, but it wasn't the normal Jimmy Butler, step it up for like playoff time.
It wasn't playoff Jimmy Butler.
That you expected. That's what I think everyone was kind of expecting to happen, because I remember the like the betting line for that game was the Heat were favored by 5 points, I think it was. And I was like looking at it, I was like, the Heat were not that much better of a team than the Hawks over like the course of the season, I thought.
Oh, most definitely.
And I think that line was built like that because people expected like Jimmy Butler to be like, oh, it's playoff time. Let me just like flip the switch and I'm gonna like all of a sudden carry this team.
And that didn't happen. Happen too. I did. But he didn't play the same as he usually does. Tyler Hero had a good game, 26 points, but I'm just looking at the stat line and Cody Zeller 2 points, Kevin Love 2 points. Kyle Lowry, 3 points. Caleb Martin and Victor Oladipo, 0 points. Gabe Vincent, 6 points. Tyler Hero, 26. Bam, 12.
You look at, like, the big men they tried to, like, bring in to kind of beef up Kevin Love and Cody Zeller. Like, there's nothing. Those players are so washed at this point. Like, they are. They have, like, no contributions they can make to this team. And those, like, moves they tried to, like, bolster up their big men because, like, they have a huge hole in the backup big men center.
Oh, without a doubt. And if we just look at the Hawks, I mean, they destroy them on the boards. Clint Capella alone had 21 rebounds. So it's if someone on one team, one player on a team, they have 21 rebounds against you're going against, I don't see how you can win that game. 21 rebounds? That's just out-rebounding everybody. It was the Hawks doubled the Heat in the total rebounds that game, 63 to 39. So the Heat got to step up.
As a Celtics fan, though, I was very happy to see the Hawks win. I did not want to see the Heat in our playoff series.
I bet you were.
Those series have just scarred me for like how grueling they were and how ugly the basketball got.
Oh yeah.
And how they like our team would just like they just drained our team because I remember we lost the series after. Well, we lost them in the bubble, and then when we beat them, we lost the Warriors. I think part of it was because the team was just dead. From that Heat series, just like it could have been. So
didn't the Warriors win like really like relatively quickly, like five or six?
They
games?
Won six,
six, in the yeah. Celtics
but games
Heat,
five and six, games. But games five and six, Celtics were like just dead. Like, yeah, there was just nothing left in the tank.
But wasn't didn't y'all series go to seven
with the Heat?
Yeah,
yeah, Heat, it went Celtics. To seven, and Jimmy Butler took a three to win the game on like a fast break with like 8 seconds left, and I thought I was going in for sure. I can remember sitting in my living room and being like, that shot is gonna go in. Like it was neck and neck until like the very
end. That's what playoff Jimmy is. I don't know.
But yeah, I was just saying, like when I'm like talking about the respect that Jimmy Butler has, like I did not want to play the Heat in the playoffs.
Honestly, I know I said this last week, but Brady wasn't here. I would have rather played the Heat in the first round than the Nets in the first round. If you just look at like the last game, and if you just look over the course of the year, their offense has been the worst offense in the NBA.
You mean you would rather play
the Heat than the Nets
if you had to pick between the two?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure, no doubt.
Yeah, without a doubt.
I think the Nets are the sixth best team in the East.
Okay. I think there's a big drop off
like, between five and six.
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's definitely a drop between the Knicks and the Nets.
Yeah. No. I would definitely say the Nets are probably the sixth best team, but that doesn't mean that they're that good.
Right. Like I wouldn't take the Hawks. Like it's the Hawks, Heat, Bulls, and Raptors are like the four teams below them. I think the Nets are better than all those teams.
Yeah. I agree. I just think when you look at the East and you say the sixth best, you got the Bucks, the Celtics, the Sixers, and the Cavs all with, what, I think 50-plus wins?
I think they're all in their own tier.
Yeah, they are. And the Knicks are kind of like in the...
Knicks are below that.
Tier below, but a tier above everybody else.
Yeah, but I think the Nets are a tier below everyone below them, too. Like, I think the Nets are clearly better than, like, the Hawks, in my mind.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Like, there's, like... Like, if they were at a series...
They're in a weird little position.
Yeah, it's... They're in their own bubble.
So, moving on from that playoff game, we just talked about how the Hawks destroyed the Heat in rebounds and ended up winning that game. Let's move on to that play, the 9 versus 10 game. The Bulls versus the Toronto Raptors. Were you surprised about the outcome?
Not really.
Really?
I don't think I was that surprised. I haven't really liked the way Toronto's looked for a while. So seeing them kind of choke in like the last minutes of the game... And that Bulls game wasn't surprising to me. Like, when they, like, couldn't get anything going in the last, like, 4 minutes of that game.
Really? I honestly thought the Raptors... I don't think they were going to handle the Bulls like they did in the first half. But I thought they were going to end up, like, winning the game just because of their wings. They always had, like, big, long wings. Like, Pascal, OG, Chris Boucher, people like that. And you have shooters like Gary Trent Jr. and Fred VanVleet that I thought were going to be able to, you know, light up the three-point line. And then I thought Jakob Poeltl was a great pickup, but I guess.
I don't think he was worth the first round pick, though.
He wasn't worth the first round pick. That's
like I would for take sure. I would take that trade back if I could, if I was Toronto.
Really?
Oh yeah, for sure.
I probably would too. I would. But I think Jakob Poeltl is still a really good piece.
I just was not that surprised like that the team with DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine down the stretch like looked better. Like when Pascal Siakam, so Siakam got fouled with what, like 8 or like 12 seconds left, I think, on the clock, and he gets like to the free throw line for 3 free throws down by 3. I did not think Siakam was gonna make all 3 of those free throws. Like never once was I thinking he was gonna go 3 for 3. And he made the first one, then clanked 2.
First of all, that was a terrible call. Awful on the call. Refs. It was awful call. It was he clearly wasn't shooting, but
he was nowhere near to shooting.
I don't know how he called it.
I don't know how he got to the line from that.
But I just thought after what I saw in the first half, there was no way the Bulls could come back, and then Zach LaVine just put him on his shoulders. And then DeMar DeRozan's daughter, I think she carried the game with her screaming at the free throw line. I've never seen anything like that before.
I think she just, like, it was weird because the Raptors just seem like they've gotten their own heads about, like, free throws.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Like, that's kind of, I mean, 18 for 36 from the line in a must-win game, that's bad. That's really, really bad. That's really, really bad. And so I think that's part of it too. It's just I think the Raptors just down the stretch all season have not looked great. I don't think, as much as I love Siakam and I think he's like a great, like, well rounded player all around, I don't think he can be your best player. I think
I agree. Yeah.
I think we've seen that now. And I think that they need to move in a direction. It's too bad they didn't trade Fred VanVleet, I think, because now he's probably going to walk in the offseason.
Yeah. I think the Raptors are in a tough position. I'm pretty sure I did hear Nick Nurse and the Raptors were basically going to part ways this offseason. I don't know. It hasn't been confirmed yet, but there's been a lot of rumors.
I mean,
that.
I've just heard that talked a lot. Like, when I've read stuff, that Nick Nurse will probably be somewhere else. I heard someone say that he might go to the Rockets.
I heard Rockets, yeah.
I saw that, which... good for them. I think Nick Nurse is a great coach, but I do think that sometimes great coaches' voices can get stale in like the locker room, mm-hmm. and sometimes change just has to happen. I don't think there's any bad blood between the two.
It'll be good for both teams, I feel like. Well, at least the Raptors just getting a new voice in. It hasn't been working out ever since Kawhi left, I want to say. So
it just feels like they need to get rid of some players. Like, I thought OG Anunoby should have been traded because I thought that what they were going to get for him during the season was much higher than what I think his talent actually is. Like, I think his value was way overrated.
I think he's a great player, but I do agree that I think his value was too
high.
I think
they could have gotten, like, 3 first-round picks from the Suns before the Suns decided to go with Kevin Durant. And I was like, why wouldn't you do that right away? Like, OG Anunoby is not – he's good,
but
not
he's not
great.
Like, that great.
He's not great. And I think Scottie Barnes definitely did not show the improvement that everyone was hoping, which we might have put unreal expectations on him in a year.
Yeah.
But also, it was kind of disappointing when you saw Evan Mobley, I think, make a bigger jump. Mobley is asked to do less, so you have to give him that a little bit. But I think people want more from Scottie Barnes. And they just have a lot of, like, contracts that are, like, mid, like, 20 or under, like, guys who mm-hmm. are, like, good but probably not worth that much money. And you kind of need to package those for either one guy or a bunch of picks.
Yeah, I agree. The Raptors are in a tough spot. They got to get out somehow.
They do. Unfortunately, we have to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is the Swing Section.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And we are back. This is 90.7 The Capstone. This is the student section. My name is Brady Rogan. I'm joined here by my co-host, Connor Rolls. And it's time to talk about the other play-in game, then, quickly.
Quickly. We got away.
We got carried away too much with the Raptors and all that stuff. Let's talk about this one real quick. Timberwolves played the Lakers in a game where the Timberwolves were missing their center, Rudy Gobert.
Missing their center. Missing their backup center, Naz Reid. Missing
Jaden McDaniels. He punched the wall.
Don't even get me started. But Lakers honestly should have lost that game. I think if Anthony Edwards was not what, like,
Just awful.
Goodness. Like, he just was
awful.
I don't even know how I can put this into words.
I love Anthony Edwards.
That game baffled me.
I love him. I think part of it was he was trying to do a little too much in the absence.
Yeah.
And then, like, when that wasn't working early, he kind of, like, did not know how to play.
Mm-hmm.
I think was part of it. And he's still learning, and he's still super young. So I don't want to blame him too much, because I think he has redemption tonight. If it's another stinker tonight, then it's concern.
But Mike Conley had a good game.
The Lakers had to be thinking, like, why did we pick D'Angelo Russell over Mike Conley in that moment, I think.
I think D'Angelo Russell was a better pickup than Mike Conley, but he did have a bad game.
I think Mike Conley is great. Like, I think Mike Conley is a great player. And he's a great teammate. He's a great guy to have. I think him next to LeBron would be great. I mean, Mike Conley's been a great three-point shooter over the past couple seasons. He's great, another ball handler to have. I think he's more reliable than D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell sometimes, when he'll do certain things, and he'll just be like, why are you doing that right now? Why are you taking that shot? And I think Mike Conley is just much more a steady hand for the playoffs for this team.
Okay, I do agree he's more like steady, but you don't expect another 4-for-4 from 3. You don't, do you?
I mean, I'm not going to rule that out.
But I would rather D'Angelo Russell. I know last game, well, his defense in general was just terrible. Last game, he only had 2 points. But I don't think that's going to happen again, really.
I mean, Mike Conley shot over 40% from three now, 3 of the last 4 seasons. So I feel like that's, like, pretty consistent three-point shooting you're getting from him.
I think it's consistent, but you're not going to see another night where he goes 4-for-4 from 3 or, like, 5 threes in one game.
I think that's perfectly...
You think so?
I think that he's a 40% three-point shooter, so I don't see why that could not happen again. And he's going to be left open in these offenses and stuff.
He's
going to get left open, and he's going to knock down his open shots.
Okay, I guess I could see that. But Anthony Davis, moving over to the Lakers, he had a good game. 15 boards, 24 points. He had a very bad foul at the end of regulation, but...
Talking about bad fouls, Karl-Anthony Towns could not... Sorry, I'm back on the rules, but Karl-Anthony Towns just has some of the stupidest fouls you've ever seen.
Oh. Yes. But I feel like the refs are just all over the Lakers right now. Love the Lakers.
I think it's because, I mean, AD, LeBron, D'Angelo Russell, and Austin Reeves are four guys who are, like, hard to officiate. Like, right there. Like,
okay.
Those are guys who, like, go into contact and, like, try to get to the line. So I feel like I get why, but, like, also, like, it's like... Those are guys, like, that's what they do. Like, this is how they play basketball. Like, Austin Reeves... is, like, I think super underrated as, like, a free throw hunter a little bit.
He
gets fouled all the time. I mean, LeBron just will go in, just, like, muscle someone out of the way and get the call. And that's happened, like, the last 10 years.
It's LeBron.
So
he's always
We can't, like,
call.
Be surprised that's going to happen. Anthony Davis is so lengthy that he's just going to get hit. That's what happens with these big guys. You see with, like, Embiid and Giannis. Like, they just – it's how you have to guard them sometimes is they get hit. So I get the foul thing, but also I don't think it's that – it's like
it's not that big of a deal.
They have players that like are hard to guard.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Austin Reeves is really hard to guard, but he does draw a lot of contact.
He's shifty. I think he's real shifty in the way he gets into the paint. I think it's hard not to foul him sometimes.
It's hard not to foul him, but I don't know. Like, he's not like LeBron or Anthony Davis. Where
no, it's different.
Yeah,
he's more, I think, in the sense of how Jimmy Butler hunts for fouls in a way. Because Jimmy Butler like gets to the line a lot, too.
He does.
In his games. I think it's more in that. Jimmy Butler and LeBron don't get to the line in like, the same way either.
Okay. I mean, I can see what you're saying. But the Lakers are now playing the Grizzlies. So I think that we're going to get to that in a little bit. But we're going to talk about the final playing game just briefly. The Thunder beat the Pelicans in a big comeback win. Pelicans were leading most of the game. And then the Thunder... they just charged back, led by Lou Dort and Josh Giddey and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Who would have thought Lou Dort had 27 points?
I think the biggest story from that game, though, was the Zion interview.
It was. Okay.
I think, as good as the game was, I think the biggest story we got from that was Zion saying that he was the one holding himself back from playing.
Zion.
Which is like, that's like an all-time quote right there.
Like, I enjoy watching Zion so much. I enjoy his game, but I don't know what you're doing, man.
I don't know why
I
you
don't
say that.
No,
like that's a wild thing I think to release the press.
At least
like
he's
after you haven't even played since January, and you're gonna say that the reason you're not playing
is because
you don't feel like you're ready. Like, mentally, I don't know. That's not a great look.
Hopefully, it doesn't
for a guy who already gets criticized for like his work ethic, and already gets like kind of seen not in a great way in that sense. Mm-hmm. Like, that's definitely not a great quote to have out there. So, I think that was the biggest story because it leaves a line question for what the Pelicans do for next year because they ain't make the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can get that much more talented of a roster built around Zion.
This roster this year was extremely talented.
Like, I with that much money tied up into a guy and, mm-hmm. like, resources into a guy like that who's not going to play, like, your team's just not going to be able to contend.
Yeah.
And this is a team that has the talent to contend for sure.
I know CJ was playing injured, so I can't really fault him for having a terrible game. But Zion, man, it's tough. Thunder playing the T-Wolves tonight. We're going to see how that goes. But let's move on to the playoffs. The playoffs start tomorrow. No more play-in, no more of that. And the first game tomorrow is the Philadelphia 76ers versus the Brooklyn Nets. Brady, let me hear your thoughts on that one.
I think the Sixers should win, without a doubt. I think that the Nets have the ability to win a game or two. I don't think this series would be a sweep, if that's what you're asking.
Is that so? You don't think so?
No, I don't think it'll be a sweep. I mean, the Nets just have guys who get hot. That can get hot for a game. And I think Claxton is, like, a legit defender. So, like, for a night, I think he could give Embiid a lot of trouble. Like, I think it's perfectly reasonable to, like, let's think, like, game, like, three or four, Claxton puts up a great defensive game and Harden and Maxey are a little off. Because, like, also, like, Harden hasn't been playing great recently, and then this is kind of Maxey's, like, first playoff series of, like, hey, we need you to, like, consistently, like, give out numbers for us. So I think it could be – I think that the Nets will win a game or two. But I think the Sixers will win the series.
I could easily see a sweep. I'm not going to lie.
I don't think so. I don't think it's a sweep.
So far this season, the Sixers, no matter if it was Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving, they have swept the Nets this season. So that just tells you that this team in general is already better. But I think I'm seeing it right there, 11-13 since the Kevin Durant trade. When they were – I think they were – weren't they the fourth or three seed before we went down? They were up there.
Yeah.
They had a great team. They had a great record. They trade everybody, and they just fall way down to the sixth seed. I think the Nets will give us trouble the first couple games maybe. But I could see us winning in five.
They went 6-3 in their last nine, though. So I think that's
nice. But who do they play?
I mean, who did anyone play in the last six? I just think like some continuity is important for these guys. These are guys who like there was big roster movements. They had brought in like five different players who are playing rotational minutes now. So I think it's reasonable to assume that there'd be some growing pains because of that. And this last, I mean, the last game they played, so it was the last game of the series season, and Mikal Bridges didn't play, Spencer Dinwiddie didn't play. So it was like the Cam Thomas show. So I'm not going to read too far into the season series stuff because they really didn't play each other with the new look.
I guess, but I still don't, how are you going to stop Embiid? How are you going to stop Tyrese Maxey?
I mean, they have a bunch of long wings, and Nick Claxton is a good defender.
Nick Claxton's 185.
I mean, I've seen Al Horford and Robert Williams give Embiid trouble for years now.
Al Horford and Robert Williams is not Nicholas Claxton.
No, but it's a similar, like, I don't think it's always, like, you don't always have to be the big. I've seen Marcus Smart go against Embiid and have success sometimes. Like, I think he can hold his own.
I think Embiid's.
Not hold his own, but I think he can do an all right job.
I think Embiid will average 35, 36 points this series. I think it'll be a sweep or a game five. That's just my opinion, though.
I really liked how Spencer Dinwiddie was playing at the end of the season. I really like Mikal Bridges in this like first option role. They got Seth Curry and Joe Harris off the bench as like great shooters. I mean, Joe Harris has been putting together a good stretch at the end of the season shooting wise. I think that they can win one or two games.
I think
it's gonna be a lot tighter of a series than people are thinking. Because I think I've seen a lot of people say like this should be like a sweep for the Sixers, and I just don't see that. This is a talented Nets team. I know they lost their two best players and they made those trades, but it's still a very talented team. And I like Jacque Vaughn as a coach. I like this team. I think they're good.
No, But, hey, let's move on to the second game. We were just talking about the Hawks. It's Hawks versus Celtics.
This is a sweep.
That's a sweep.
This is what a sweep looks like. This is one team that has like been consistently better than the other team the entire season.
Celtics swept the season series against the Hawks, and I think we all expect that. This is another sweep. I don't think we have to read far into it.
I mean, the Hawks haven't won like two games in a row since like February. There's that stat where like, they've been at 500 for like the last like 30 games.
Yeah. So there's really no reason to look into it.
There's no reason to talk about this. I think it's the same for the Bucks against their matchup. Like, I think that's also a sweep.
So the next game is Knicks versus Cavs, and this is a great series right here. Now, I have the Cavs winning, but I have them winning in six or seven. Julius Randle, he's going to be back tomorrow. He is. I got a notification earlier today. I think it was by Woj, but he plans to play tomorrow against the Cavs. But I think the size of the Cavs is too much. I think Donovan Mitchell gets hot way too easily. Darius Garland's a great point guard. But I see this game I see this series going at least six or seven. Cavs win though, in my opinion.
I think it's a coin flip for me, honestly.
I think it's a coin flip, but I think it's that close to a series.
I think Jalen Brunson has been so underrated this entire season. How he's been like a top four point guard.
Yeah,
I think you would take for like the season on your team this year, and so I don't want to say that like Donovan Mitchell is that much of a better one option than Jalen Brunson right now. Like Brunson also has Garland and like they have each other guarding each other, and like we saw it in that game they played like 2 weeks ago where they both went for like 20 in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Like Brunson and Mitchell. And obviously the Cavs end up winning the game by like 15 because Randle wasn't playing at that point in time. But like it just shows that like these are two guys who have like explosive offense opportunity and potential. And I don't think that there's a clear-cut like distinction between them two as I've like seen people talk about in the media.
I don't think it's clear-cut. I just think the size for the Cavs is going to play a big factor with Jarrett Allen, Evan Mobley. And then I know Caris LeVert will come in, drop some buckets.
Caris LeVert sometimes just
he annoys me sometimes. Inconsistent.
He's inconsistent, and I think he's a ball stopper, and I don't like him that much.
He's a decent bench piece. I don't think he should be starting. I think Okoro should be starting.
Oh, Okoro should be starting 100%. I think Okoro will start. I believe that's who they have been starting, right?
I thought it was Caris, but I could be wrong.
Maybe. I think Okoro has actually had like a great stretch just recently. He's been knocking down his three-point shot.
Yeah.
Which is a big thing for him because he has not – his defense has always been there because he's 6'5", as like a guard who can stay with all these guys. He's lengthy. I think Okoro should be the starter.
Okoro should definitely be the starter, but I think if Caris LeVert gets hot – we saw that against the Sixers in the Nets series in 2019. He was killing us almost every game. I think if he can get back to that and have like a game or two, that'll be like the X factor, the reason they win. But if he has his consistent 11, 12 point games, then I don't know if he's gonna be that big of a contributor.
I just feel like the Knicks have more of those X factor guys a little bit, like guys who can like Grimes, Josh Hart. Like I think those are guys who can like win you games.
Yeah,
I feel like the Cavs have less of that in a way.
They have less of that, but I feel like more star.
They have more consistency in like their top end players.
Yeah,
I would say, but I think that the Knicks have playoff guys. I feel like Josh Hart is a playoff guy.
I think
Brunson is a playoff guy. I don't think Randle is as much,
but I
think he will. I think he will be just because I think I've always just underrated Randle because he's just such a weird player.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to find a way to just cause mayhem. And I think that's what this Knicks team has. I kind of lean toward the Knicks a little bit.
You do?
I do lean toward the Knicks just because I think that they just have more just mayhem-creating guys.
Well, you go Knicks, I go Cavs. Let's move on to the last game of the night tomorrow night, and that's Warriors versus Kings. Very, very interesting matchup.
This is such a hard matchup to like evaluate, just because you have this team in the Warriors who have just underachieved at like every instant this season. Like every opportunity they've had, they've just like let us down. Mm-hmm. And this Kings team, where every opportunity this season they have just blown us away with how well they've been able to play. And here we are playing and we're like the Warriors are favored, like in like the bank sense, and I understand why.
Should be favored.
And I understand why, but they have consistently let everyone down this season. I think
they have, but that's because they've. Andrew Wiggins hasn't been there, who is probably.
But they were letting us down before Wiggins was out. Like before Wiggins was out, people were still mad about like how bad. Like they couldn't win a game on the road while Wiggins was playing.
That is true, and I know it says a lot, but it's the Warriors.
I know
Steve Kerr, Steph Curry. It's the playoffs.
They're 11-30 on the road. I feel like to be a good playoff team, you need to win games on the road and win games against teams above 500. Those, I feel like, are the two biggest things for me.
I agree,
you need
but
to travel.
It's. I think it's going to either 6 or 7, without a doubt. But give me the Warriors in 7.
I'm gonna go with the Kings. I'm gonna go with the Kings. The Warriors just this entire season have just not shown me anything, and I'm not gonna just go on legacy for this one. I'm just gonna stick with it. I think we're gonna look back on this a little bit and think, yeah, the Warriors shouldn't have won that. They had like an awful season. They had the roster wasn't great. They lost, I think, a lot of players who they like were missing this season.
Yeah.
Which I mean that's what you saw them have to move for Gary Payne to bring him back because like they realized how much they were missing him.
He was such a big piece that they didn't even realize last year.
I think the punch between Draymond and Poole really threw a lot of stuff off for chemistry wise. Mm-hmm. I think when Draymond leaves this offseason.
You think he's leaving?
I think he is. It's gonna be like the contract thing was hella above everyone's heads, and that's why there was like disconnect in the team. I mean Clay and Draymond are guys who are thinking about their next contract a lot.
Yeah.
And that's a real thing in the NBA. Like these guys are thinking about where they're gonna eat from like the next franchise.
That yeah, I can see that.
So I think like in history we're gonna look back on this and think, yeah, the Kings should have won that series.
Okay, I mean I can see that. I still got the Warriors. Andrew Wiggins is back. Playoff basketball, it's hard not to pick the Warriors.
I know it's hard. I'm going to ignore legacy and go off what I've seen this season. I'm not saying that's right, but that's just what my gut tells me to do right now.
All right,
we're going to take a short break. This is 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
This is 90.7 The Capstone, and this is the student section. My name is Brady. I'm joined with Connor Rolls, and it's time to finish up talking about the playoffs, and then we'll quickly get into NBA award finalists for our last segment of the night. What series were we on, Connor?
So, we're now on the first game of the Sunday game, like game day, like the Sunday slate, which will be Lakers versus Grizzlies. This is, I think, this might be the best matchup, in my opinion.
I feel kind of bad for the Grizzlies.
I think the West has it really bad because a lot of the bottom level teams have a really good chance of upsetting whoever they play. Like the Lakers, the 7 seed, I think they will upset the Grizzlies because I don't think they're that good actually. I know they have a lot of talent in John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. who will most likely win Defensive Player of the Year. But man, Dylan Brooks can't be your third or fourth best offensive player.
I mean, like aside from all like the media stuff that Dylan Brooks has been this year, he's had a down offensive season from what he has even normally been at.
He's already bad,
but he's shooting below 40% from the field for the first time, and he's at 32% from three. And he's just not good.
And then he fouls every other possession.
He's just not good.
He's not a good player. I don't know how he starts in the
league. He reminds me a lot of Marcus Smart like 5 years ago. He's worse than that. And like 5 years ago, Marcus Smart, Celtics fans would get on him so much for the bad shots not making 5 years ago. And he's a lot better than what he was. But Dylan Brooks is now into his like sixth NBA season. And he's still there, and he hasn't learned. Like Marcus Smart, we stuck around with because we saw like the potential on the defensive end and the playmaking ability, and he's toned down the crazy shot attempts and has turned into a great basketball player, and was the reason the Celtics probably made to the finals last year. A big reason.
His defense was unbelievable.
And Dylan Brooks just doesn't have he just hasn't learned.
He's a great defender. He fouls a lot, which is one thing. He is extremely dirty. That's another thing. So I feel like that kind of, I don't say it hurts the locker room, but I feel like there's a lot of people in the locker room who does not like him.
I feel like it hurts the image of the team.
It does. And then don't even get me started on the offense. I think he might be one of the worst offensive players in the league.
Talk about irrational confidence. Like, that's just him.
You look at him, his shot is the ugliest shot I've ever seen. His knees go inward. He doesn't flick his wrist. He throws the ball. I don't know what he's doing. First off, that's one thing. And he thinks he's Steph Curry out there. He tween-tween, step back, air ball.
Or and then he'll do it again. And then he'll go do it again. He'll do the same thing again.
Tween cross, mid-range pull-up. Off the side of the backboard. I'm like, stop shooting. You shoot 5 for 20 from the game each time.
It's hard to watch. I feel bad. Like, it's a two seed. Like, you're not in a series where I think a lot of people would pick you. Like, I think a lot of people are going to pick the Lakers in this series.
I am picking the Lakers in 7.
And I think I would also pick the Lakers in this series just because the experience the Lakers have, how well they changed their roster from what it was after the All-Star, how well they made it. I think I'd pick the Lakers.
I would not be surprised if the Grizzlies win, but I do think the Lakers will end up winning the series.
I mean, I think the Grizzlies have to kind of think about what they want to do with their roster.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that they should run it back. And I think it's probably the thing is I think it's probably Desmond Bane who's going to end up getting traded.
You think so?
I think they should trade him. Like, I think they should kind of flip Bane and a couple picks into something a little better.
Okay. That's interesting. I haven't heard that one.
I love Bane, and I think he's really great. But I think you kind of got to view him the same way the Suns viewed Mikal Bridges a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you kind of got to sacrifice it to get the next great player.
Yeah. I feel like they're in a tough spot right now where they are a great regular season team. But when it comes to the playoffs, their half-court offense I don't think is there.
It's just – I just like the experience of the Lakers, like, a lot better.
And plus, Steven Adams being out and Brandon Clark being out is very big for the Lakers.
It's a big Lakers team.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's going to cause Jaren Jackson Jr. to have to stay out of foul trouble. I think we're going to see him average at least 5 fouls per game.
Yeah.
And foul out of multiple games. Like, I think that's going to happen for sure because of how much the Lakers are going to attack the paint and how much he is going to foul because he just jumps on everything.
Yeah, I got Lakers. And we're going to move on to actually, so far, this is the last game of the day, 7 p.m. game, because we still got to wait on these play-in games for the Bucks and
I mean,
Nuggets,
I think those
who are both playing
those are
on
both
Sunday.
Sweeps, I would say.
Yeah, both are most likely sweeps.
No matter who wins the playoff games,
we can just say those are sweeps,
both
basically.
Those teams to, I think OKC could take a game from the Nuggets, maybe. I don't think anyone could take a game from the Bucks.
Yeah. So we're going to move on to Clippers-Suns. This is a very, very interesting matchup in my opinion. But I got the Suns. If everyone can stay healthy, they are, what, 9-0, 10-0 when Kevin Durant plays?
Paul George being out just really hurts the Clippers.
That hurts, that one. But I'm going to go into the season series real quick just to describe it. What's it called? The first two games the Suns won, they started off 2-0. Then it was before Kevin Durant got there. I think it was DeAndre Ayton was out. The Clippers won that game, and then the Clippers won the game when they sat out DeAndre Ayton, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant. So technically the Clippers' wins hasn't really came against them full strength. Every time they play them with their – I don't want to say full strength because at the beginning of the year they didn't have Kevin Durant. They've lost. So I think the Suns will win in
not a lot of teams
5 or 6.
I don't think any good team has played the Suns at full strength.
Okay,
you know?
I think that is true.
Like that's another thing. I don't think the Suns have played anyone good since they got Kevin Durant.
I know they played the Hornets twice.
Oh boy, not the Hornets. Ooh. The team that beat the Mavericks twice.
Oh gosh,
not the Hornets. No, I just think the Suns. They barely beat the Nuggets. I remember they barely beat that Nuggets team with, like, the Nuggets' best player was Bruce Brown. And I love the talent of the Suns. I want to pick the Clippers, but Paul George not playing just makes me have to go with the Suns.
Yeah, I'm going to go Suns in, like, I want to say 6. Suns in 6 or 5, one of the two. I think Clippers will probably steal 1, maybe even 2.
I am interested in, like, the Russell Westbrook matchup a little
Russ
bit.
Russ has been extremely better
because he's
going to
the
Clippers.
If they put If they put Chris Paul on Russell Westbrook, it's he's blown by him.
Like
every
Patrick
time.
Beverly said, Chris Paul is a cone out there on defense.
Every time. Russell Westbrook is just going flying past him.
So we both agree the Suns?
Yeah. If Paul George was playing, I would go with the Clippers, but he's not. And I want the Clippers to win just because I like the roster. But
I do want the Clippers to win because I do want Russell Westbrook to get a ring.
I like Russ, and I like
Paul
George
a
lot.
It's crazy to say, I think I was the one of the biggest Russ haters when he was with the Wizards and when he was with the Lakers. But now, what he's been through with the Lakers and what his family's been through.
He didn't deserve anything with like the Lakers. The Lakers literally just put him in like the worst possible scenario.
Worst situation
for him.
And then blamed it on him.
It was like, here, Russ, we're going to play you off ball next to LeBron, where like none of your best attributes are going to be used at all. And then we're going to get mad at you when you don't play well.
Yeah.
Like, you set him up for failure. Like, obviously, he wasn't going to play well in those situations.
And then he comes to the Clippers and pops off.
But he comes to the Clippers, and they let him play a true point guard, and he does well.
Yes.
Who would have thought?
OMG.
The point guard wants to play point guard.
So, since we've just finished talking about all the playoffs, we both think the Suns are going to win. NBA award finalists came out today.
Very true.
The MVP finalists... Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. You already know my pick.
Finalists.
I have Joel Embiid.
I think I've said all three of these guys at a different point. I think halfway through the season, I was going to go with Jokic. And then after Jokic, I got talked into Giannis. And then just Giannis and Jokic, I think, ended the season on pretty low notes.
Yeah.
And I think you just kind of have to go with Embiid at this point. Just because of the way the season ended.
That 40-point game, was it 40 or 50? I think it was 50.
Which
against
one?
The Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, that was an absurd game.
I think that was the exclamation mark on MVP.
That game was, he literally just killed us. It was a perfect game from Embiid. I think Jokic just like took himself out of the running, like basically.
He did.
It's unfair a little bit because they clinched the one seed with like 9 games left. So they were just kind of coasting. I know it's the West being woke, but I'm just saying, like, for him coasting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why he was coasting, but, like, that's how it works. So I'm going to, yeah. So I'm going to give it to Embiid.
Both agree.
It's his season.
I've been on Embiid since the beginning, but since we agree.
There's no way I can talk myself into giving it to Tatum, so I guess I have to go with Embiid.
Defensive Player of the Year finalist, Jaren Jackson Jr., Brooke Lopez, and Evan Mobley.
This is definitely, I think, one of the weaker.
I think it's weaker
player of the year.
I think it's Jaren Jackson Jr. There's no other way. He averages what, like 3 blocks a game.
Like 3 blocks a game. What I don't like about Jaren Jackson Jr. is he's not very consistent, and what I mean by that is he gets into foul trouble a lot, and he doesn't play a lot of minutes because he can't play on. He can't stay on the court.
Yeah.
Because of how reckless he can be at times. And I mean, just for the context, Jaren Jackson Jr. has played 1,787 minutes this season in 63 games. And then Evan Mobley has played 2,715 minutes in 79 games.
But read out the block numbers.
What?
Read out the block
numbers. I mean, the block numbers are kind of insane. Jackson has 189 blocks to Mobley's 119.
Yeah.
So like, that is kind of crazy. It's a crazy difference. But
I get what you're saying.
I feel like if I'm giving a season award to a player, like for how they've played the entire season, you need to play more than 1,700 minutes.
Yes, but also what he's done in his time, it's...
I don't think I'm willing to give him that, for like what you've done in like your time. Just because, I mean, it's a really low amount of minutes.
So are you not giving him...
I don't think I would... I would not vote for Jaren Jackson Jr.
And wow.
And the thing is...
Mind-blowing.
The thing is, if... Brooke Lopez is there, but I don't think Brooke Lopez is... I'm not going to give it to him. I'm talking about why I wouldn't give it to him. Because I think I would rather give it to two other guys on the books.
I'd rather give it to Drew Holiday, too.
I think both are better defenders. So I can't give it to Brooke because... Obviously, his advanced stats are going to be insane when you're playing next to two of the best defenders, like in the league.
Position.
So, like, yeah, those are like the best guys at their position for sure. So, I don't want to give it to Brooke for that reason. So then, I feel like I kind of default to Mobley because these other two guys have like don't meet these like standards for me in a way. So I would give it to Mobley.
That's interesting. So Jaren Jackson Jr.
But like, if Giannis or Drew Holiday were in here, I would vote for them.
Wow. I think Jaren Jackson Jr. has just been unprecedented on his
blocks. I think if he played more, I would give it to him. But like for a whole season award for a guy I would want for the whole season, I need you to play more than that.
Okay. Now we're going to move on to most improved. You got Lauri Markkanen, Jalen Brunson, and SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think this one's pretty easy.
I think it's easy. My thing for these three guys is, of the three of them, I think Brunson, SGA, we saw leaps coming because we saw that potential in them. Mm-hmm. Like with Brunson, we saw it in the playoffs when Luka wasn't there. So people like knew Brunson had that. SGA, the Thunder had just kind of been shutting him down a lot, but we knew he could score. Like we knew SGA had this like scoring ability inside of him. At least I did for sure. But Lauri Markkanen, no one saw coming. Like he was like in that trade for Donovan Mitchell, he was like the picks were like the main part of that trade, and then Lauri Markkanen was like the add-on contract to make it work.
Yeah.
Like no one talked about Lauri as an asset that they got for Donovan Mitchell. And like no way. Lauri Markkanen was not talked about, and he became an all-star starter, put up 25 points, almost shot 50% from the floor, 40% from three, like and had an insane season. Just, like this is the Lauri Markkanen award this season.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, last year he averaged 14.8 points per game. This year he's averaging 25.6 while shooting basically 50% from the field and 39% from three. He's just increased so much, like his shooting percentages, his efficiency, and then plus his points.
And it led to wins too.
It did.
When that team was actually playing their guys, like for the first like 2/3 of the season, it led to wins.
It was, but I agree with you. It was kind of out of nowhere.
So then before we go, let's talk about, I think the only other award that has to be like talked about is the Sixth Man of the Year.
Yeah, I think Rookie of the Year, is Clutch Paulo, Player.
Clutch Player is Fox, and Coach of the Year is Mike Brown. I think those all three could be like unanimous for but, first. Okay.
Sixth Man of the Year. Let me hear your thoughts.
There is some talk about it. I think Bobby Portis is a throwaway candidate. Like if you vote Bobby Portis for us, you are being paid by the Milwaukee Bucks, like for like their media team. Like that's just the only way. He's just not in the same tier as these guys. And I think my thing, I would vote for Brogdon.
Oh, okay.
I'm a Celtics fan, so I've definitely watched more Brogdon play than Quickly this season. I'll admit to that. But I think Brogdon is really consistent in this six-man role. I know Quickly has started more games than him this year. I know Quickly is much more up and down. He can step into that spark plug, like one score for that night, better than Brogdon can, I think.
Okay.
But I think Brogdon provides that consistent bench presence that the Celtics really need him, just because I don't think the Celtics need him to step up like that, like the Knicks need Quickly sometimes.
Okay.
And that's why I think I would take Brogdon.
Interesting. So for me, just looking at both of these players, I would have given it to Brogdon if I didn't see what Quickly did for that little stretch where he put up 30, 24, 39, 22. 14 was like kind of a throwaway game, but 24, 40, 25. I think the end of the season, the stretch, I think you got to give it to Quickly. I think Brogdon, I want to say more consistent, but Quickly, they both average, I think, the same points. Yeah, 14.9. They both average the same amount of rebounds, 4.2. And Brogdon shot the ball,
I think, like incredibly efficiently this season.
Yeah,
I think
he did put up shoot
the
very
career high in 3-point percent. Yeah, 44.4. I think that was big for the Celtics. Like that consistency off the bench, like was big. And we didn't need him to do more than he did, and he did exactly what he did for us. And that he is the big reason why we were so good this season.
I agree with that completely. I think this award will go either way. I wouldn't be surprised if Brogdon wins it, but I'm going to lean Quickly. Just because of the end stretch. It was kind of like the MVP race, how it was very tight. You could even say Jokic. But there was a point in the time where Quickly just started popping off game after game after game after game, where I just looked at it, I was like, might just be a recency bias, but I'm going to have to lean Quickly just because of the end stretch that got them to where they were.
I think that end stretch, a lot of it was like inflated numbers because he was stepping into that bigger role.
It could have been.
And like with Brogdon didn't get that opportunity because the Celtics were winning the entire season and their guys weren't hurt in front of him. So he was like, it was like Marcus Smart and Derek White, I don't think were ever both hurt at a time. So like he was always playing with one of those guards in like the starting lineup.
I agree, but I feel like you can't really fault Quickly for doing that.
I'm not going to fault him. I'm more saying you can't fault Brogdon. Brogdon didn't start a single game this season.
I'm not saying I'm faulting him. He had a great season, very efficient, basically the same stats. But then again, I just think
Brogdon could have done what Quickly done had he been asked to do that, but he wasn't, and he was just so efficient in the role he was asked to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was kind of blown away with, for a guy who's averaged 20 points per game, taking that step back to win on a contender.
Yeah.
Is what impressed me so much.
It did impress me, and again,
I'm not saying there's a wrong answer. Like, I think if you get Quickly,
I think both answers are correct.
It's totally valid. I think you could go either way with this one. That's why I said the other three were like unanimous, and then this was one that we could actually talk about because I think it is close.
I'm still going to lean Quickly, but I see what you're talking about, and I get what you're saying.
All right. That's all the time we have for tonight. This has been the Student Section on 90.3 The Capstone. I hope you
enjoyed. Adios, amigos.
Have a great night.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.